Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
In all of the writings of the Apostle John, we see a continual emphasis on the divine life. One of the aspects of the divine life that John stresses again and again is that it is eternal, even calling it the eternal life. Many readers of the Bible, and even many translators of the Bible, equate the term eternal life with everlasting life. Though this thought is not altogether wrong, it is incomplete at best, and it can lead us to a shallow realization of all that we receive in Christ at the moment of our salvation. The eternal life is our subject today as we continue our life study in the book of 1 John. And Matt Miller, who is often sitting in my chair, is here in the other chair today, so I can pick on you, Matt, and it's good to have you here. I love this topic, don't you?
I do, Chris. It's a great topic, and again, I want to emphasize, Witness Lee didn't call this a life study by accident.
Right.
He did a study of the whole Bible based upon life and called it a life study, and there's a reason for that. And I just want to underscore what you just said, Chris, that there's a misunderstanding, and I remember as a new believer specifically being quoted John chapter 10, verse 10, about, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly.
Uh-huh.
And I heard this and was told this and heard sermons that we have a life and it's an abundant life. And then describing the natural life in a natural way, having abundance in a natural way, not realizing that the abundant life we have is God's life. The Greek word there is zoe. It's different than the physical life, the bios kind of life. That's the physical life. There's psuche, which is our soul life, the psychological realm. And then there's zoe. That's the eternal life of God. Yet when we read the King James Bible, the word life is translated life with all three of those Greek words. And so it has the potential to really lead the believer to a misunderstanding that we just have a better life coming. We're going to have golf courses. We're going to have all kinds of natural things that are better. But that's not what God's talking about when he says we're going to have an abundant life. And I'm glad we're going to get into this program today on the divine life.
Matt, let's take another minute and stay on this topic because I think you raised a couple of very meaningful points. And if our listeners can get into it, it'll change their whole perception of not just the program today, but the book of 1 John, I would say the Gospel of John, the book of Revelation, and really in a very true sense, the whole Bible itself, end to end. It is a revelation of God as the divine life coming to man. So you picked up John 10:10 about the abundant life and the wrong concept that this is just God adding things we like to our life after we die. And the other thought that I would like to maybe correct, if we could, is the understanding that, well, our life is now everlasting, meaning the life that we have today, the life we were born with naturally, has now been extended indefinitely or forever. Neither is that the proper understanding of eternal life, because our life per se is not the eternal life. It's God's life that's eternal, isn't it?
Well, that's what John 3:16 says, the gospel message that's so wonderful. And I agree with you, Chris, when you said if people could get this point, it would be a revelation that would become a revolution. It would revolutionize your Christian life if you could see this point right now. And he says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever would believe in him would have eternal life.
Yeah.
That means you're getting a new life. You received another life. It's not that now your life is eternal, but you were given a gift of eternal life, a big difference. And it's a revolutionary difference if you can see this. We have Christ in us. You know, Colossians 1:27 says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And then Colossians 3:4 says, when Christ our life. So Christ is our life. It's Christ living in us. This is really the vision of the whole New Testament. And again, like I said, it governs the entire understanding of the entire scriptures.
I think this point will get more clear as we go on. I'm anxious to hear Witness Lee develop this point as a young believer. His sharing on this point was, as you said, not just full of revelation, it became a revolution in my life and my living, and I think has been a kind of governing element for these 30 plus somewhat years now that I've been walking this way or attempting to walk in the Christian life. It's when we walk in the life that is Christ himself that we are in and of and out of the Christian life. I picked 1 John 1, 2. It's a verse we've read already this week, but we'll be emphasizing this matter of the eternal life, which appears in this verse as well. Let's look at it again. And it says, "And the life was manifested, and we have seen and testify and report to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested to us." So it is this eternal life that is our focus today. And let's join Witness Lee with the first portion.
Now, the eternal life. First of all, I'd like to give you the meaning of the word eternal. Eternal means everlasting. This is time-wise. But the word eternal does not only denote the time element, but also denotes the space element and also the quality. Three things. According to time element, it means everlasting. But it also bears the space element. Whenever you say the eternal life, this means this life covers the span of this field, the field of life. There is a field, a sphere of life in this universe, and this eternal word denotes that this divine life is so wide that covers all the space of the field of life. Whatever is in the field of life is in this eternal life. Not as our life. Our life is not only temporal life, but also limited life. The eternal life is not temporary, nor limited. It is everlasting and it is unlimited. Everlasting in time and unlimited in space. Not only so, it also denotes the quality. It is perfect, it is complete, no defect, no shortage. This is the connotation and the denotation of the word eternal. The divine life is everlasting in time, and it covers the entire field of life in space, and also is complete, perfect, without shortage, without defect. This is the eternal life.
Matt, I think we're all clear on the everlasting aspect, the aspect of the eternal life as it relates to time. And in a sense, in space, it's unlimited. I'd like to focus, if we could, for a minute on the third of these three qualities of the eternal life, and that is its quality. Contrast it to, say, the quality of your life, my life, all of our life.
Well, Chris, that's pretty easy to do when you consider the quality of my personal life. I mean, I'm constantly have a life full of defects, shortcomings, failures. You can just ask my wife or my kids or you. You don't even have to go to my wife. And so that's an easy comparison, because when we look at the life of Christ, and I'm really actually looking forward to getting into the next section. Yeah. So I don't want to skip there too quick, but you know, but maybe I should. Well, okay, we'll get to that in a minute. But it's going to talk about a verse in Hebrews that talks about the quality of life. And the closer you get to the Lord, the more you get to a pure life. Yet the closer you get to me when I'm living in my own life, the more you get to corruption.
Right.
And yet when I'm living with the Lord and I'm fellowshipping with the Lord and one with the Lord and I'm living in life, then the closer you get to me, then you're touching something pure, because it's not I, but Christ. That's the mystery of the Christian life. Like Paul said in Galatians 2:20, it's no longer I who live, it's Christ who lives in me. So when I'm living in Christ, then you touch me, you don't touch that corruption because you're actually touching Christ in me. And the wonderful thing is we can actually lay hold of life today, and the quality of that life that is pure and without defect, without failure, and that's the glory. That's the wonder of this Christian life that we're involved in.
Yeah, it's a quality that matches God himself because it is God's own life. It is the divine life. It is the eternal life. And that's a very definite article there, I think, intentionally. We read that verse in 1 John 1:2. It talks about the eternal life, not a or an eternal life. It's unique. It's only God's. And in this next section, we will get to this verse. In fact, I want to read it, at least I've excerpted a little bit to save time here. It's Hebrews 7:16, I think, was the verse you were referring to.
Right.
Who has been appointed according to the power of an indestructible life. That's really the qualitative statement, isn't it, man, mm-hmm. about the nature, the quality of the divine life.
It's an indestructible life.
The other thing that comes out in this portion, I really hope our listeners are able to zero in on it, is that this is not just a nebulous life. This life is a person. 1 John 5:12 says, he who has the Son has the life. And then finally, jumping to John's Gospel, John 12:24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless the grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. So a lot in this coming portion. I think this is the meat of the program just ahead. So let's get to Witness Lee, and then we'll come back.
This life is indestructible. You can never destroy this life. Satan and those Jewish leaders thought when they crucify this life, they would have terminated it. Rather, their kind of crucifixion just afforded this life the best opportunity to propagate, to be multiplied, because it is unlimited and it can never be conquered. You can never conquer, subdue, and destroy this life. It is an indestructible life. This is the life of God. This life is not just a matter, not just a thing, but a person. He's a person. The divine life is God himself expressed in his Son. So, according to us, this life is just the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. So, 1 John says, when we have the Son, we have life. Because this divine life is just the Son himself. Even he himself told us. He declared, I am the life. And this life was with the Father in eternity. He was there in eternity as life. Don't try to analyze. We cannot analyze. You just enjoy item after item. Every item here is a course. This is why I say many, many course in John's writings. The Son of God is a course. The Father is a course. You see, God is a course. You have God, you have the Son, and you have the Father. You have also eternity. Four courses. Then you say, how could we understand it? I say, don't understand. Just enjoy. Then you say, how could enjoy? According to my experience, the best way to enjoy is to parade. Every word is a dish. Every word is a course. You just eat.
Man, I'd like to come back to his concluding point here about how we enjoy him, how we take him in by eating him. But before we touch that, and that's a very good practical fellowship, it puts some handles on the divine life for us. Let's come back to this matter of this life really being a person himself. I was reminded as listening this time when Peter spoke up on the Mount of Transfiguration and, you know, he wanted to put up three tents, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Jesus. Of course, the Father spoke from the heavens and said, no, Peter, hear him. It's this one in whom I'm well pleased. So Christ in us, these verses that you were talking about before from the New Testament, Matt, possessing this divine life in the person of Christ is the way that we as believers become pleasing to the Father, rather than a kind of a remodeling of our natural life according to our concept of what God is after, isn't it?
You know, Chris, life, it's not another doctrine. One time someone asked me, they said, what's your deal? You know, I know the Lutheran's deal. Martin Luther was justification by faith. And I know the Baptist is, you got to be baptized in a certain way. What's your guys' deal? And I was with someone who's older and more mature than I was. His answer was, we focus on life. Okay, so what do we mean by that? We don't mean that now all of a sudden all we do is talk about life and life is our new doctrine. That's not what we mean. What we mean is like what you just said, that life is a person. We are turning everything in the Bible and turning it to a person, just like when Peter was on the Mount. Peter wanted to make three tabernacles, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for Christ. And all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah disappeared, and there was only Christ there. And the Father said, this is my Son. Hear ye him. Only take care of Christ. And that's what we're saying. Everything else goes. Only take care of Christ. Love Christ. Care for Christ. Turn your heart to Christ. This ministry, if it does anything else, like the ministry of the Apostle Paul, as he described in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, espouses you as a pure virgin to Christ, to love Christ. We hope that listening to this radio program causes you to love Christ, to turn to him as a person. And that's why when Witness Lee finished there, he said the best way is to pray, read. That means you come to the Bible and you read it in a way of prayer. Lord, I love you. I'm coming to your word to touch you. I just don't want to read this word alone. I want to be with you when I read it. I want to receive you when I read it. I want to breathe it into me. This is your breathing out. I want to breathe it in. Lord, I love you. It's totally a relationship matter with a person. Life's not a doctrine. Life is a person.
Glad you mentioned that. Witness Lee may have coined this term, pray read or pray hyphen read, which really is just to mingle our reading of the word with praying and filling our prayer with the very words of the Bible itself. But he certainly did not invent the actual practice of it. I mean, the biographies of believers through the ages are just full of testimonies of ones who discovered this along the way. And it really is helpful of a key, is it, for us, man, in our day-by-day walk and entrance into an enjoyment of this divine life.
It's a big help, Chris. And Living Stream Ministry has actually published a book with quotes throughout the last 2,000 years of many of the dear servants of the Lord who were benefited and profited through this experience of praying over the Lord's Word. And it's a book called Lord, Thou Saidst.
Yeah. Spell it for us so we can get it on the radio.
S-A-I-D-S-T. Lord, Thou Saidst. That's the title of the book. Living Stream does publish it.
Yeah, and I would recommend that to our listeners. Our third section today, Matt, we want to come back to 1 John chapter 2. Another aspect of this eternal life, the fact that it is our portion, even it's our destiny. In chapter 2, verse 25, John said, and this is the promise which he himself promised us, the eternal life. And now, picking up one of Paul's words, I hate to use the word favorite associated with the Bible, but it is a favorite verse of mine. Romans chapter 5, verse 10. For if we being enemies were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more we will be saved in his life. So we praise him for his shed blood for our justification and redemption, but oh, how we treasure the saving that's in his life.
Much more.
Much more. Here's Witness Lee for our final segment.
This divine life was in Christ, concealed, confined even. But this divine life was released from within him by his death. Then, not only released out of him, but also imparted into us. Released out of him through his death, imparted into us through his resurrection. Marvelous. And believed by the believers. After receiving, he becomes our life. Isn't this wonderful? We are now having this divine life within us as our life, and we are now every day being saved by this life. Not only so, we can reign, we can be a king to rule over all the negative things. Could you be a king over your temper? I think many of you would say, oh, Lord Jesus, Thus far, I never been a king over the temper, but the temper has been a king over me for quite a long time. You know why? Just because you don't enjoy this life. Don't make up your mind with a strong decision that from now on you will never lose your temper. That doesn't help. Forget about your temper. Just calm and feast on this life. Eat Jesus. Pray and parade and call on the name. Not just call on the name apart from the word. Mingling your calling with the parading of the word, you will enjoy him. When you enjoy him, actually, he reigns over all the negative things. When he reigns, you reign in his reigning. Hallelujah. Are you going to lose your temper? It is much better before temper comes. You better call, parade. Get yourself nourished. Get something into you to be the king within you. When you are under the reigning of the inner life, temper runs away.
Matt, that book, The Lord Thou Saidst, is a perfect fit for what we just heard presented, especially this matter of how we can be nourished, we can be equipped, and it really enables us, doesn't it, to, in a sense, reign in life, which is the promise and hope of the salvation we receive.
I'd encourage the listeners to get that book. That will usher them into more personal experience with Christ and helps them get more into what we're talking about today. And I did want to say one thing about Romans 5:17, because this verse is really the key to the whole book of Romans. You know, people read Romans 12, present your body as a living sacrifice. There's so many things that are exhortations in the book of Romans. But what's the secret to them? The secret to every one of them is in Romans 5:17. It says, "Much more, those who receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ." So we reign in life through receiving the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. So our Christian life is a matter of receiving, and that's what we're talking about in this book. It's receiving the supply, receiving the grace through his word by praying, calling on his name. And when you get that supply, it's like Witness Lee said, then you become a king. You're reigning over the temper. You won't lose your temper. And not only will you not lose your temper, but you'll enter into every positive thing. You will be able to present yourself to the Lord. You will be able to be transformed. You will have a proper church life, a proper body life, etc. Everything in the Christian life is centered around this secret of receiving grace through the word to reign in life.
Matt, very good that you added Romans 5:17. I read 5:10. These two verses are really companion verses. In 5:10, it says we are saved. We're being saved in his life, or we will be saved in his life. And then 17 takes it even another step, not just saved, but eventually even reign in his eternal life. Because as you just pointed out, the Christian life then becomes Christ himself, living this reigning, eternal, complete, perfect, lacking nothing life out of us, the believers. And that becomes then how we express him as his body.
Wonderful. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
I do really encourage you, if you're at all intrigued or touched, opened up, or seeing something new. Again, the name of the book is Lord Thou Saidst, and it's a compilation of many testimonies of saints through the ages who have really discovered this secret of how to enter in, lay hold of, and experience the eternal life. Here you will be back behind the microphone for the next couple of weeks.
Well, it's a great joy for me today, Chris, and I'm looking forward to doing more as we get into the life study of 1 John.
Well, this is certainly an enjoyable portion, isn't it, in the book of 1 John?
It's great.
All right, we will return. I'll be back, and then Matt will be with you next week and the week after that. For Matt Miller, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening today.